You are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeter. To support the show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeter. It's time to look in the mirror, America. Do you like what you see?
I keep referring to Obama as the magic Negro.
Do you like what you see now?
Well, suck on this.
It's just a mirror, America.
Shared sacrifice by everybody.
What could it do to you except reflect your image?
I did nothing wrong at the Minneapolis airport.
The Majority Report.
Far more credible to me than PBS.
And Frontline.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeter.
And I get the feeling you've been cheated.
It is Thursday, September 11th, 2014. My name is Sam Steeter. This is the three-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live in the literal, though not metaphorical, shadow of the New York Times in the fashionable Dollar Lunch District of New York City. Today on the program, following President Obama's primetime address to the country and his plans to roll back ISIS, Chris Woods, freelance journalist, author of Sudden Justice, America's Secret Drone Wars. Also on the program today, more bad climate news. Just 10 days before a major protest in New York City, coinciding with the UN meeting to deal with such issues. And the revelation of new witnesses to the Michael Brown shooting in Ferguson on the day of continued protests there. These witnesses' account also backed up by a video of them reacting to the shooting. Also on the program today, well, it's not just the screw-up on the policy, but it's also the cover-up. NFL, more questions surrounding. It's week two of the NFL. I haven't even watched the game. I'm not even aware that there has been a game. The real question is the NFL lying about when they got the tape? More evidence that they are. And the case of seniors still paying off their student debt. And by seniors, I don't mean seniors in college. All that and more on today's program. So last night, President Obama gave a speech at 9 p.m. It was one where he laid out a plan to do something that was not very clear in my estimation. The agenda for this plan is to roll back ISIS or ISIL or the Islamic State, depending on how you refer to them. We've heard from other officials in the U.S. government that the plan is to decimate and destroy ISIS. And according to the president, we will attack them wherever they are, which of course includes Syria. The plan also calls for further training of Iraqi and Peshmerga fighters, the training of Syrian rebels in Saudi Arabia to go back and fight presumably ISIS and Assad. Also involved in this plan is the building of a coalition of the I don't think we use the word willing, but partners. So we have a significant expansion of the bombing in Iraq, training and equipping the Iraqi army and Kurdish troops. Where have I heard that before? Begin bombing in Syria. Train and arm the Syrian rebels. Get both regional and European allies to counter ISIS's designs for expansion. And also, ultimately, to not have U.S. troops on the ground, but for some U.S. troops on the ground. And according to John Kerry, well, if things get really bad. So that's it right there in a nutshell. Still seems unclear. The authority for this is ostensibly the expansion of the 2001 authorization for the use of military force, the same law that President Obama wanted contracted, 6 to 8 months ago? The legal aspects of this are very disturbing. And he welcomes congressional approval, but does not apparently need it. So that's that. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Chris Woods on his piece in Foreign Policy, Can Airstrikes Stop the Islamic State? We'll be right back after this. Okay, folks, we've had some major technical difficulties. Our internet went down again catastrophically, and it was fun to race out into the hallways and see the guys from the e-commerce site on the next floor freak out like we did, too. I got a couple of minutes into my interview with Chris Woods, and it obviously we lost him. We're going to have him back on Monday. He's a great guest. He's extremely knowledgeable about both the notion of an airstrike campaign and Iraq in particular. We're just going to do a short show with a couple of stories that we would normally do in the better half of the program. And he will be with us on Monday. Of course, tomorrow on the program, Cliff Schechter will be here, and Andy Kindler will be here with us. We're going to be starting early tomorrow at 11:30 a.m. Eastern time. And just a word on, you know, we have had this problem with our internet provider now, it seems, once a month. And it is the only internet provider that we have access to in this building. We are endeavoring to move to a new office in the next month and a half. We will there hopefully have access to multiple internet providers. It will obviously be at an increased cost. All of this is going to cost. So, we work on a pretty tight margin here at the Majority Report. So if you have the ability to become a member, please do so at majority.fm. It makes it possible for us to do the show on a daily basis and hopefully to expand the program both in its quality and, well, in its production and the quality of the content. Although I don't know how we get better quality content. I guess just delivering it to you would go a long way. I gave the rundown of the president's speech before we lost our internet connection, so that will be where it is. I mean, look, and, you know, I was talking with Chris Woods about some of the problems that make, in my estimation, this new policy one that is untenable. And I got into numerous fights on Twitter last night following the president's speech that really were rather sad in my estimation. But, you know, we will talk more about that with Cliff tomorrow. I mean, look, we are expanding from a policy of, well, not even containment of ISIS, although arguably containment of ISIS, at least within the context of Iraq, to one which we are ostensibly going to roll back ISIS, whatever that means. I do not think we have the ability to do that. Certainly not by airstrikes. And certainly not if we're going to rely on the Peshmerga and the Iraqi army. The idea that we could rely on the Iraqi army to do this on the ground is ridiculous. It's simply not possible. The idea that the Peshmerga are terribly interested in going on the offensive against ISIS also seems to me to be rather far-fetched. To a large extent, the Kurds have what they want. And frankly, I think ultimately our only option is to contain ISIS to the extent that we can, but to get involved in an expanded bombing campaign, which basically sends the message to the Sunni in general in Iraq that we are paving the way for the Shia to come back in, I think is very problematic. But again, we will have greater conversations about this with Cliff tomorrow and with Chris Woods on Monday. There has been a big development in the shooting of Michael Brown. And it is, at first blush, it's almost a little bit disturbing, frankly, that the notion of these new witnesses should change anything. Now, it is my understanding that these two witnesses have already spoken to the police and federal investigators. They have, up to now, not wanted to be identified and have not gone to the media. CNN broke this story last night. They were two men who are construction workers. They don't live in Ferguson. They are white, which was the first thing that caught my eye, that somehow because they're white, their eyewitness testimony would be weighted more, because we've heard all of these same reports from witnesses on the ground that seem to have been discounted, or at least not given the weight that we're giving these two. With that said, the reason why this witness account from these two is being given more weight, or I should say being considered to be less impeachable, is because CNN has gotten hold of a video shot by someone's iPhone of these two individuals reacting to what they saw. So let me make that clear. These two individuals are construction workers. The construction workers told CNN that one of them, at least, said they had heard one gunshot, then another shot about 30 seconds later. The cop didn't say, get on the ground. He just kept shooting, the man said. The same witness described the scene, saying he saw Brown's brains come out of his head, again stating his hands were up. The other contractor told CNN he saw Brown running away from a police car. Brown put his hands up, the construction worker said, and the officer was chasing him. The contractor says he saw the officer, Wilson, fire a shot at Brown while his back was turned. The men said they didn't see how the confrontation started. Now, we're going to play the audio from the video, or at least from part of the CNN report. At one point, you can hear the you can see the construction worker. And I don't know why anybody would take this video, frankly, but I think it was because maybe what was taking place was off in the distance. I'm not sure. I'm not clear on that. But it's quite clear. You see these construction workers seeing part of what's going down. And at one point, the construction worker who has told CNN, and one would imagine the same story to police authorities, yells, he had his effing hands up. And while he does that, he actually raises his hands to signify what he's saying. He's gesticulating. So it makes this testimony virtually unimpeachable because unbeknownst to these contractors, these construction workers, they were being videotaped reacting in real time. So it's not as if they say after the fact, I saw it, I yelled, he had his hands up. You can actually see him reacting to the scene that he's seeing. So let's play this audio.
Just after 12 noon, Ferguson, Missouri. The men you see in this exclusive cell phone video hear gunshots. They are about 50 feet away from Michael Brown and Officer Darren Wilson. The unidentified person recording this video captured the witness's reaction during the final moments of the shooting. Both men were contractors working in the area. They did not want to be identified. The man on the left in the pink shirt told CNN they heard one gunshot, then about 30 seconds later, a second shot. He says he saw Michael Brown staggering. Then he says Brown put his hands up and said, okay, okay, okay. The witness told us the cop didn't say get on the ground, he just kept shooting. That same witness described the gruesome scene, saying he saw Michael Brown's brains come out of his head, again reiterating his hands were up. Watch how he motions on the video. The video, these witnesses say, was taken shortly after the shooting ended. If you look closely, you can see a police officer in the distance beginning to put up crime scene tape. Both men told us by the time it was over, there were three officers on the scene, but only one involved in the shooting. Another voice is also heard on the tape. The contractor in the green shirt told me that voice belongs to a man he didn't know, who pulled up alongside them, yelling this. That same contractor in green also told me that he saw Michael Brown running away from the police car. He said Brown put his hands up and that the officer was chasing him. He also said that Officer Wilson fired another shot at Brown while his back was turned.
I mean, in this context, I don't know how. I mean, what is amazing to me is I don't know how this guy's not in custody now, because CNN just got this information. But supposedly the police and federal investigators have had this information for a long time in the context of what's gone down there. So last night there were major protests on a highway. The images of the police encircling the protesters is pretty dramatic. I would imagine following these revelations, we're going to see more protests. I have not heard as to how authorities have responded to this, but this is just stunning. If the cops have had this information and federal authorities have had this information and we are not seeing more action taken against Wilson, I mean, it's amazing.
I would just like to note, not about the story itself, but CNN actually got scooped by the Majority Report on Monday. I spoke about this.
You did?
I didn't have the video, so this is good.
The contractors.
Good that we talked about it again, but this was... We Majority Report got it before CNN.
Well, now, how did you get it from the contractors?
Oh, I didn't get it from the contractors. People were talking about the video. The video was out there. What CNN did basically was they made it nicer and fixed the audio, and then they released it yesterday.
Interesting. All right. Well, good job, Matt. Good job, Matt. All right. Let's talk about the last night. Ted Cruz was I guess this is in the run up to President Obama's speech. I mean Ted Cruz is, I mean, this is really stunning. And, you know, we are looking at a situation now where you can almost see the structure of the forces that are pushing us into a broader war. And I don't know how you can call it anything but that. In Iraq, the chest thumping that is going on. Here's Ted Cruz. I want to say being interviewed by Wolf Blitzer, but it's really just you're just handing them the mic because Wolf Blitzer doesn't ask a follow-up question. Let's break this down. Here's Ted Cruz talking about ISIS.
You want to expand the air attacks against ISIS in Iraq and then begin them in Syria as well, right?
The objective should not be Iraq or Syria. The objective should be taking out ISIS, preventing them from attacking America. And what's been missing so far, we've had an air attack here, we've had a bomber missile there, but it has been photo op for...
Okay. First off, you can say that ISIS is not intrinsic to Syria and Iraq, but you'd be wrong. The name you just said, Ted Cruz, is the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria. But this is, again, the way that these war hawks will avoid really dealing with the issue, and it's really just about chest thumping. Now, you can also say, we've had a bombing here, a missile attack there, 150 such attacks, a tempo that is greater than we have actually been engaged in Afghanistan, or anywhere else in the world, for that matter. Continue.
Policy. It hasn't been driven by a concrete military objective directly connected to our national security. So we should do what is necessary using overwhelming force to take ISIS out before they secure control and before they use the revenues they're getting control of to project force and to carry out terror here at home.
Because one of the problems...
Take control of what? Is what Wolf Blitzer would say 30 seconds ago. You just said this is not about Iraq and Syria. What is it that they're going to take control over? This is all just BS. It's gibberish.
It's debate school gibberish.
Back it up just a second and roll again.
The revenues they're getting control of to project force and to carry out terror here at home.
Because one of the problems, if you don't have boots on the ground in Syria, you do have some good intelligence in Iraq. You know more or less where they are. Syria, the U.S. doesn't have that kind of ground intelligence. So you really need some people there who could coordinate.
Now Wolf Blitzer is ignoring the fact that we also have some problem with ground troops in Iraq. Insofar as we know that airstrikes alone are not going to take out ISIS, right? We're going to have to do it with our partners who, in the first instance, when faced with 200 to 800 fighters in Mosul, basically just left town, thousands of them. But Wolf Blitzer is asking about, well, how will we spot where we're supposed to bomb people in Syria? Now, it's possible that We may be working with Assad, although that seems less likely. It's far more likely and obvious that there's only one way for us to get that intelligence, and that is through Iran, which has, and maybe Iranians or fighters, or has a relationship with Assad. I mean, they're the only ones we would get this intelligence from. And here is here's Ted Cruz ostensibly answering the question that Wolf Blitzer asked. How will we cite? How will we know where to bomb in Syria?
Where these bombs will go. Otherwise, a lot of innocent civilians are going to be killed.
What we shouldn't be doing is partnering with those who are enemies of this country. So at times, for example, the administration has suggested we might partner with Iran. Look, ISIS are radical Islamic terrorists who want to kill us. But Khomeini and the mullahs in Iran are also radical Islamic terrorists.
They don't want to coordinate.
Pause it. Now, for those of you who are maybe in elementary school, Khomeini is dead. maybe he meant someone else in Iran. But he hasn't. Maybe he meant Khomeini, or maybe he just hasn't boned up on it lately. But you'll notice that he did not answer Wolf Blitzer's question. He just basically said, well, I'll tell you what we don't want to do. This is the functional equivalent of saying, like, we need to play some tennis, but I'll tell you what we should not do is use rackets. I don't know. And he doesn't even have the shame for his mind to say, but let me fill the vacuum of what we're going to play tennis with. He doesn't even acknowledge that he's saying, well, we're not going to play tennis. It's a continue.
With Iran.
Well, that is encouraging today, but it has changed. It has changed on almost a daily basis. It wasn't too many months ago when the Obama administration was arguing for arming the rebels in Syria who were fighting alongside ISIS. And in this instance, the enemy of our enemy is not necessarily our friend.
Some of those Free Syrian Army guys are fighting along the sides of al-Nusra, another terrorist group,
exactly,
but
right.
Not necessarily ISIS, because there's a real problem there. He wrote an important column on CNN.com today, yep. and maybe just read a line from it, because it's provocative. As long as our border isn't secure, you write, the government is making it far too easy for terrorists to infiltrate our nation. Here's the question. Is there credible intelligence information that ISIS is trying to infiltrate the United States through the border with Mexico, shall we say?
Look, there are reports, and they're unconfirmed right now, of ISIS activity along the southern border. I can't say right now there's credible concrete intelligence. But what's clear is ISIS wants to project
Pause.
Terror.
This guy should not even be hosting his own show on WorldNet Daily. Never mind being a U.S. senator and a front runner for the presidential ticket for the Republicans. The question was there credible evidence? The answer is no. Not like, look, we've had reports. I mean, there was...
Well, there's non-credible evidence.
There's non-credible evidence. I mean, someone found a soccer jersey. A militia man found a soccer jersey. But that's not important. All I'm going to do is I'm going to float this idea so that I can get an email blast out of it that there may be ISIS people on the Mexican border. But look, let me just tie this all in together. The ISIS definitely wants to attack the United States, even though our intelligence people have said they represent no imminent threat in that regard. But we know they're brown. Mexicans are brown. You do the math, Wolf. Thank you for printing my piece on CNN.com.
Into the United States. Now, right now, they're consumed with this battle in Iraq. But if they're allowed to consolidate power, they will soon can be expected to want to project terror here.
They can soon be expected to want to project terror here. It is
one day they may want to.
The
think
idea
about it,
that some that a media outlet would allow this guy to go on there and spew that stuff, where literally a 14-year-old kid who listens to this program could pull that everything that man said apart in about 30 seconds, is just
I don't know. It's crazy. I don't know. All right, let's go to a couple of IMs if we have.
We also have one more clip if you want to get to it.
We don't have many. All the IMs are basically saying no no stream.
Do you want to get to this clip, the one about Fox News on Ray Rice?
Oh, yes. Okay. So, well, let's talk about this. There's more in the Ray Rice NFL story as well. And this is just, I don't know, the amount of horribleness these days is really beyond reason. I don't seem to have this story in my stack here, but essentially, we have been told for some time that the NFL never saw the complete tape of Ray Rice punching his then-fiance in the face and knocking her out cold. The AP has now reported that a police source told the AP that he provided a DVD of the entire footage to the NFL months ago. And not only provided that, allowed them to hear a voicemail or a voicemail recording, or I guess a recording of a conversation from an NFL executive that this police authority received, saying, "We got it. Yeah, it's horrible. It looks horrible." Now, the police official has requested that the AP not identify the NFL executive so as not to identify the police official who was not authorized to send them the video. In other words, the cops didn't act on what they saw in this video, but rather just unofficially gave it to the NFL. So we have a situation where the NFL has been lying about their having possession of this video. And we have a situation where the cops are saying, "Hey, this guy's pretty important. We don't want to interfere with this guy and his career. So we'll give it to the NFL. If they don't want to do anything about it, we're not going to do anything about it." Because after all, look, it's just a lady getting her face punched in. And it's her fiancé. And it's one thing to say, okay, women should have the right to vote, or that they shouldn't be the chattel of their man. But come on. Unbelievable. So the NFL is, I can't believe this guy Goodell, who is now apparently appointed, who is it? Louis Free? Was it?
Mueller.
Which former FBI executive, ostensibly to come in and give him cover and whitewash the whole thing, as far as I can tell. The idea that the NFL would not fire this commissioner at this point is stunning. It really is stunning.
Well, if you thought we thought Ray Rice was important, this guy's really important, Sam. Yeah.
Unbelievable. Meanwhile, that's right. Apparently, as I recount the fact that the NFL lied about having the full video of Ray Rice knocking out his fiance, that puts me in the anti-testicular police crowd. What do I mean by that? Well, of course, we need to enter into the fever swamp of the ignoramus, the morons,
the ignorati.
The ignorati on Fox News. Here is Fox News analyst Tamara Holder telling Sean Hannity that people like myself are part of the anti-testicular police.
Only suspend Ray Rice. Fox News contributor Tamara Holder, Fox Business Network, Stegan McDowell. Guys, good to see you both. You take a very strong position here, that this is really none of the public's business.
Well, I think it's interesting that the anti-testicular police are coming out and just taking this guy's balls and ripping them off and not paying attention.
What is the fact that this guy is being condemned for punching a woman in the face have anything to do with his testicles? As if we're taking away his manhood by saying, you can't do that. Continue.
Attention to the fact that there is a family here, that there were decisions to be made behind closed doors, that also Miss Rice, formerly Miss Palmer, she played a role in it. She is not, nobody can say that she deserved to be hit. Nobody. I'm not making that statement.
But you're talking about the hit and the spit.
Correct.
All right, but wait a minute. But there's a rule in life, Tamara, that every man understands. You never lay a hand on a woman, period.
I am not defending his behavior. What I'm saying, though, is that where do we draw the line with just attacking somebody, ruining their life, firing them for life? He's going to lose his home. We draw the line. He's a public figure, which opens him to...
We draw the line, he's a public figure. No, we draw the line when he commits a criminal act. And if you are a public figure, the outfit you may work for may not want to be involved with you. If you are there is no doubt in my mind that Sean Hannity, in fact, every one of those people sitting on that panel, in their contract with Fox, has some form of morality clause. If you do something that in any way reflects poorly on our outfit because you are a public representative, we will fire you. So how about drawing the line when you commit a crime, assault and battery? And then whether or not you get fired will also be a function of whether or not anybody wants to be associated with that. So pardon me while I go and attempt to castrate some people right now.
Wow.
And then let's go to the we'll take a couple of quick IMs. Militant Apathy. Barring something earth-shaking the way things are looking, Wilson should be facing charges for the killing of Michael Brown. I can tell by the way the family of the local union aren't saying anything. They know this guy effed up, and there were probably signs everywhere that he was a nut. Fox and all the other reactionaries and racists are the ones carrying his water. Any officer involved in a shooting, the way this usually works, is the PD will pretty much let you and your union rep know which direction things are going to go even before the indictment comes. If they feel you violate a standard operating procedure, you will know by the tone they are taking. They don't want to be on the hook for any civil damages. I've seen departments cut guys loose for way less than this. So I can't figure out why the department decided to cover for this guy. Anybody with the time and the profession would know this was a bad shooting. Why let the city burn over this?
Well you know that online fundraiser for him that raised over $200,000. There were two of them, each raising over $200,000. You know, the one that people were posting screenshots of all the racist white power messages with donations of hundreds of dollars each person. Ferguson PD was behind those two fundraising pages.
Wow.
So I'm not sure. I'm not so sure about that with the police being.
This police department doesn't seem to be working in that way. Turgle Bopper, would Matt consider debating Thunderfoot like he debated Paul Alam?
Of course.
Make that happen, I'd upgrade to a dirty effing hippie.
You guys, as listeners, go to him and say he should debate this guy named Matt Binder. And that's how it'll get started. Me just going to him, he might not reach out to me. He might not know who I am. If you guys go to him, it'll make it sound like I have a big audience that can give him exposure.
I know you fire people for extortion, but maybe bribery works? Oh, yeah, bribery works.
Bribery's good.
And Bunara, the question should be, is there any problem U.S. airstrikes can't solve? No kidding. I think we need to hear from Ted Cruz's father and how he will more respectfully tell the Iraqis and Syrians what he will do. I got to hear Ted Cruz's father before I can do it. Juan, what is it? Hey, can you?
One, two,
You do it without Iran.
Cool J 146. Help Obama kickstart World War III. I may have just killed my internet. You got audio there?
What do you mean? We're up still. I don't see anything down here.
Oh, all right. We'll try it a different time. Max Payne, raise your hand if you believe the NFL and the Ravens haven't seen this tape before this week.
Oh, wait. Try it again. Try it again. I had the wrong thing up.
All right. We'll play it later.
Okay.
All right. Finally, this video, I don't know. I thought it was it was pretty funny. Mike Tyson has been going around. Apparently, he had a one-man show on HBO. I didn't pay attention to it.
It was like in a theater, I think, in Brooklyn. It was shot by Spike Lee, and then it was on HBO. It's great.
All right.
It's really good.
Look, you know, Mike Tyson served his time. Yes, fascinating guy to say the least. He is up in Canada, apparently, and apparently met with Mayor Rob Ford. I don't know if he endorsed him, but whatnot. They're trying to promote his one-man show up there. So he goes on Canadian TV, and the interviewer asks him a question about meeting with Rob Ford. And you got to listen carefully. Mike Tyson, basically, at that point, it's over. Now, the other guy with Mike Tyson is his producer.
Promoter.
For the show, and he's trying to salvage this interview, and Mike Tyson is having none of it, and this Canadian interviewer, I guess, I don't know, it is pretty funny to look at this guy. He's like a deer in the headlights. Here is the exchange.
Big hit. Now, some of your critics would say, you know, there's a race for mayor. We know you're a convicted rapist. This could hurt his campaign. How would you respond to that?
Hey, I don't know who said that. You're the only one I heard say that. You know what I mean? And I don't have no comment to that, you know, because it's negative and you're being negative. And I met the mayor,
right,
and nothing they can do about it.
We actually had a really good time. We talked.
Now, so Tyson says that. The producer sort of jumps in. Tyson's producer jumps in. We had a really good time. He realizes that Mike may not be happy, and Mike is not happy. Continue.
About George Travallo, who was a legend in your city, great man with whom Mike spent quite a bit of time yesterday talking about his life, highs and lows.
So interesting, because you come across like a nice guy, but you're really a piece of shit.
Hey,
with that comment.
Come on,
that was a piece of fuck you. That was a piece of shit.
You know, we're doing live TV.
Hey, I don't care. What are you going to do about it?
All right, you got a show that you're doing tonight.
All right, pause. So the guy says we're doing live TV, and Tyson's like, I don't care. What are you going to do about it? And so the guy just immediately tries to like get back to the friendly. This is like literally like a Good Morning America type of show. So he tries to get back to it. That's not going to happen.
A lot of people are. Where it comes raw and it's the real truth.
Yeah, a lot of
it's
people
truth. Be there to see your show. Just tell us a bit about it.
It speaks for itself. Everyone saw the show.
All right. It's a Broadway production. It went to Vegas. It went to actually 28 cities in the United States. And we're really, really proud to bring it here. And we're actually going to Monaco on October 9th. We're going to be in Monte Carlo.
Right. Is it nerve-wracking for you to do something like this, or is it more nervous for you to box? How does it compare?
I don't know.
It's more nerve-wracking for me to hear talking to a rat piece of shit like
oh,
you.
Come on, Mike.
No, because you're a piece of shit.
All right.
Really,
we're gonna wrap up this interview. Thank you for coming in.
Fuck you.
Wow.
Oh, that wow. Last FU.
Yeah.
That's my favorite interview ever.
It is. My guess is if Mike does any subsequent interviews in Canada, they're not going to bring up his past conviction.
Not happening.
No.
But let's be honest. How would anyone's endorsement, whatever they've done, hurt Rob Ford when Rob Ford himself has gotten away with some pretty shady shit to begin with?
Well, I don't know. It was obviously a question that this guy was trying to stir some stuff up, and he realized like he just basically
stirred.
Stuck his hand in a hornet's nest. All right. Brief show today, and apologies for that. We will have Chris Woods on Monday. We'll be back tomorrow at 11:30 a.m. with Cliff Schechter, and Andy Kindler will be on the show.
And freebies are getting this, right? this
yeah,
show. So they get a taste of the kind of stories, the time we have to cover some of these great clips, these great stories that we don't get time to cover in the first half because we give
right.
you this long interview.
So, folks, if you have the opportunity to become a member, you want the extra half of the show. I mean, that's basically the way it works. I have there's a lot of people who tell me they're members. And what they do is they end up listening like two or three interviews a week. And then for the rest of the week, what they do is they go immediately to the second half, which they always know is around the 45-minute mark because they're not interested in the interview that week. And so but the main reason for you, if you do have the financial ability to do so, to become a member of the show is to support the show and keep the first half of the show alive as well.
And they didn't even get a taste of most of our genius IMers and callers. So,
yes.
So geez, just become a member.
And so you can also support the show by buying your Amazon crap through our Amazon link at majorityreportkickback.com, justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code majority, get 10% off. We'll see you tomorrow.
It might take all the strength I got to get to where I want. But I know somehow I'm gonna get there. I wasn't looking when I just got caught between the truth and the light bulb. But finding out won't make me feel any better. Yeah, I know the clock is ticking, but the meds are gonna kick in. And my pilot light shining bright. I guess somewhere the choice was made for the option where you don't get paid, for the road that bends before it finally breaks you. I guess somewhere I lost my drive between the 101.